So hopefully that will do it. And we're in some degree of stillness here. I also want you to know, in case anyone can hear this over the line, that I have a bird who has revisited me since last year. And one of the things he does is perch on the windowsill and tap with his beak against the pane. Can't figure out if he's trying to get in or if he's sharpening his beak or if he's just being social, but you can kind of hear this little bird beak tapping on the glass thing going on in the background, and I hope that it won't be disruptive to us. I'm telling him to please go back to his tree for the time being. So, again, welcome, 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 very much, very big welcome to our third class in the Witness Power of Awareness series. Today we're going to be going a little bit deeper into some different levels or layers of the awareness practice, and we'll also be going into some different levels and layers of the heart and practicing one of the core strategies, if you will, for really closing the gap between inside and outside, opening us up to the recognition that all of us, different as we are in so many ways, are connected on the area in the arena of our consciousness, connected in the arena of our joy and our suffering. So, again, if you have time, if you need to get a cushion, this is a good time to do it. Good time to take a few deep breaths and settle in. And please take a moment now to tune into your breath, to just let your awareness sink into the breath, and to bring your attention, to bring your energies, which for most of us have been involved in our day, in our work, in our conversations, in our getting here and going there, to bring that energy back into your body, to bring it into the breath. So you can begin by aligning yourself in the meditation posture, remembering that you want your hips to be slightly higher than your knees. And then take yourself through the 5 points of manual alignment, pulling up the skin on your buttocks to begin with. And then first, moving in the skin on one thigh and then the other, rolling the skin of the thigh inward towards the center. And place one hand on each side of your rib cage, lift up through the side body, actually letting yourself feel the stretch as you lift yourself up. And let your shoulder blades come onto the back as if they're melting down the back or releasing down the back. Draw the sides of your ears back. And we're going to do a new point of alignment this week. So I'm going to ask you to bring your attention to the place where the top of the cervical spine meets the base of the skull. And as you probably know, that place is inside the head. It's actually just behind the soft palate. And if you focus there, if you let the breath come there, you'll notice that there's actually a point. There's a point at the top of the cervical spine where the head rests on the atlas. And if you breathe into that tiny opening, have the feeling that as you inhale, you become more present to that spot. And as you exhale, have the sense that the top, that the head, that the brain, if you will, that the skull is lifting just a tiny bit from the cervical spine. So let yourself just focus very deeply on this place inside the body, this pivotal point where the skull is upheld on the atlas, and let the breath make space between the top of the cervical spine and the base of the skull, inhaling into it, bringing awareness into it with the inhalation, exhaling and allowing yourself to feel a little bit of presence, a little bit of space in that secret place. So with your presence, with your sense of presence, your attention in the breath, we're going to begin our invocation, chanting our opening mantras, asking that the divine impulse that endlessly and constantly tends to draw us towards our source, invoking and making ourselves present to that evolutionary power that we call the Guru, the power that's always within us, opening us past our limitations, expanding awareness, letting us recognize the truth of what we are on deeper and deeper levels. And as we chant to Krishnadasa's beautiful version of this invocation, we ask that the Guru energy not only energize our meditation practice, but also open and energize our connection with the tendency towards awakeness within our own being and within the universe.
Imagine that your entire torso
your neck, your head, your arms, your legs, your entire body is filled with space. Your body is hollow. It's pure spaciousness surrounded by a thin membrane of skin like a balloon. So the prana is moving through your body. Your body is hollow like the inside of a drum or the inside of a balloon, and the breath is able to flow through it, to move through it. And as the breath flows in and out like the wind, as the body opens to receive air, you feel that within the body is pure space. And just let yourself notice how it feels to invite the breath to flow through the hollow body. If you can stay present with the breath, with the sense of the body as hollow, the body as a hollow bamboo, the body through which the breath can flow easily. The purpose of this practice, obviously, is not to literally empty your body or to take away your consciousness of your body in its fleshly or material aspect, which is major part of our current reality, but it's simply to give us another way of tuning into the pulsing, open spaciousness, the apparent nothingness that we could call the field of the mind aware in ourselves, the field of awareness, the spaciousness that actually makes up almost every particle of matter. You know, I've always been very moved by the familiar with this particular, I guess it's not a metaphor, it's actually an analogy. In every atom of our body, the matter is a particle surrounded by space, and the ratio of matter to space is like the ratio of a dust mote inside Yankee Stadium. So our body and all matter is actually mostly space. And when we can begin to recognize it, or to be, let's say, to be present in a meditative way with that sense of spaciousness in the body, the effect that it actually has is to create spaciousness in the mind, to create spaciousness in our vision. So feeling the body as spaciousness, as hollow, is actually a profound way of feeling our way into the ever-present subtle spaciousness. It's at the core of our materiality. The first time I ever did this practice, which for many years was one of my kind of core practices for getting into a calm state in the midst of tough stuff going on in my life, the first time I ever touched into this practice was during a time when it really felt as though my life were completely falling apart. And at the time, I hadn't had a lot of experience of surfing the ups and downs of a life in which things change a lot. So change felt difficult to me. And I used to lie in bed at night feeling just deeply scared about the future. And because I was reading this beautiful meditation text, the Vijnana Bhairava, I was practicing some of the meditations in it. And I started to do this one at night. And I would find that when I imagined my body as hollow and just allowed the breath to flow through it, even for a moment or two, even for as long as we were doing it, it had a way of completely calming my mind. So in other words, the density of my fear, of the terrible seriousness that I was experiencing about the state of my life, it would just kind of open and dissolve, and I'd be able to go to sleep very peacefully. And I found that as I kept doing this practice, that it actually gave me a kind of calm center that let me go through the events that were going on in quite a resourceful way. It was a powerful experience, and one which I've returned to again and again, of what it is to presence yourself in spaciousness in the midst of daily life. So the other purpose of this practice, and really of all these meditation practices that ask us to tune into something that has no concreteness, you know, to tune into what it is that's there when there are no thoughts or no memories or no emotions, it's really asking us to become present, to train attention, to train awareness, to remain present when there's nothing concrete to hold on to. It's actually one of the powerful meditation training techniques. And what I've been hearing from some of you who've done this practice for a while, is that as a result of doing it for a while, or in some cases actually as a result of practice inside the vortex of this class, you're discovering a kind of natural skill of what I would call self-discernment. So the ability to recognize the subtlety of yourself, the subtlety that's behind thoughts, it's within thoughts, that's actually the heart of your own being. And it's a skill that we develop through practice because, you know, as one of the Upanishads says, that state, that subtle state of being that we call the self is always present. You know, it's present as the awareness that allows us to experience everything. But because it's usually filled up with thoughts and perceptions, we tend to walk over it without noticing it. The analogy they give is like walking over the grass in a field without really noticing what we're stepping on. And in the same way, you know, we live because of awareness, and we never really notice it because it's our context. So what we are able to do through this self-inquiry is to go beyond, even for a few minutes, is identifying ourselves with something concrete and learn to identify ourselves with that which simply is, with that which simply is aware. It's for sure a practice that can feel unfamiliar and even a little bit uncomfortable. And I know for some of you it feels like you're disassociating, because doing this practice perhaps puts you in touch with something that you used to do unconsciously as a child. But as you get more and more into it, you begin to realize that it's a bit like floating. It's a bit like the experience that we first have when we're learning to float on the water. And if you remember when you were a kid and you were first learning about the water, you're taught that if you just lie down on your back, the water will carry you. It'll support you. And I remember that, not being a terribly trusting person as a child, it was very hard for me to trust this, that I could just lie there and float, that I didn't have to do anything, the water would just hold me. And then there was this moment when I relaxed and released and I stopped trying to float. And that kind of miraculous moment when you realize that there's a natural synergy between your body and the water, that synergy will just take over so that the water holds you. It really, if you can think back to it, it's kind of a miracle that you can just float. So the experience of letting yourself release into the presence that's already there, if you can do that even just for a moment, you begin to recognize that you really don't have to do anything to be in this space of meditation, simply by learning to give your awareness. When I use awareness here, I mean awareness in the sense of attention. By learning to give your capacity for attention, your capacity for focus, a little bit of direction, by coaxing it attention into paying attention to itself, paying attention to awareness itself, you find more and more that you do have the capacity to surf the ocean of your mind. And this is the meditation of freedom. It's the meditation that lets us shift out of ordinary patterns of thinking and grasping that normally hold us kind of caught and limited, and open us up to the inner space that's free. And part of what we're trying to do in these classes, and part of what my intention is in working with all of you, especially those of you who work with me over a period of time, is that we come to recognize and to be able to naturally and happily surf the two poles, the two aspects of consciousness, which in my tradition are called the awareness and bliss qualities of consciousness, or we could call them the freedom and fullness aspects of consciousness. To use the word, one of the words that's common in the contemporary integral movement. So the freedom is that spaciousness. The fullness is the heart and all the experiences of subtle energy that take place in the body, in the subtle body, as we practice. So, but these witness practices tune us into our freedom. And as you know, knowing your freedom and knowing your fullness, knowing yourself as awareness and knowing yourself as bliss, being able to recognize these aspects of yourself as innate, as the reality of who you are, is utterly and absolutely crucial to an evolved life, to an awake life. So, let yourself very gently breathe into the hollow body. Let your sense of the body as spacious, pure space inside a membrane of skin. So let yourself tune into that awareness and let the breath move, so that even as I'm talking, before we move into a deeper silent meditation, you can feel that you're receiving it with this sense of the spaciousness inside the body. The body is hollow, surrounded by a thin membrane of skin. And in this practice, shifting out of the ordinary patterns of thinking, in the inquiry process, in the process of tuning into our spaciousness on so many different levels, what we're doing is learning how to open up to what's sometimes called the stateless state. Open up to the water in which we're swimming, the water of our own awareness. You know, there are beautiful natural metaphors for awareness. One of them is the ocean, and one of them is the sky. And as we open up to that awareness, which is the very air, the very space, the very beingness that holds our life, what we live in, what we live as, one of the ways to notice it, and you can do it as I speak, is to notice the quality in the mind, the quality in awareness that lets you know things, the cognizing quality of the mind. And again, this is very subtle. It's not the object of cognition, so if what you're cognizing now is my voice, it's not that. It's not even the process of cognition. It's this innate quality in the mind, this innate quality in awareness that can know things, that can experience things. This essential cognizing aliveness. And just as if you were looking for a fish darting under the surface of the water, you just let yourself, without too much intention, without a heavy intention, but just let yourself catch the cognizing quality in your own mind. And what you discover as you learn to rest more and more in it is that awareing happens without an awarer. In other words, the knowing quality that your own mind has, that your own awareness has, can be present without a sense of a particular me who is the knower. And the inquiry of what am I without thoughts, without intention, without emotions, without memory, that inquiry that allows us to open up, even momentarily, to the presence that's independent even of how we normally define ourselves, it reveals the quality of that spaciousness that's prior to thought. And the reason that it's called awareness is because it's naturally aware. That's its quality. It contains intrinsic intelligence, not intelligence that comes up with, you know, not the intelligence of problem solving or thoughts, although it's what allows problem solving and thoughts, but intelligence itself, the innate quality of intelligence, which is your essence. And another way that I find very helpful to at least tuning into this presence is that it's the subject which can never be an object. It's the subject that can never be an object. And kind of paradoxically, I've actually been giving you a practice, the instruction to become aware of witnessing, of the witness, by getting in touch with the spaciousness above and slightly behind your head. and kind of making an object out of the witness. That's a preliminary step that will let you move beyond the outward-looking, forward-moving tendency of the mind. It actually allows you to take the backward step into seeing from a different perspective that tends to coax the witness forward. You're just as coming into the back heart allows us a perspective that's not the ordinary egoic body-identified perspective. And when I say egoic body-identified, I'm not in any way suggesting that we ignore or deny the body. Simply that we recognize that, in the deepest sense, the body is not us. It's not you. It's not the self. But by making the witness sense an object, it allows us to take a step beyond our ordinary perspective. But as we get more and more familiar with awareness, with the witness, we recognize that actually it isn't an object, even though stationing ourselves in the back heart and doing this self-inquiry process from a different perspectival seat will help trigger it. In fact, it's not something we meditate on because it's what's meditating on us. It's what's meditating on us. So, the deeper practice of knowing the witness, of knowing awareness, is to be awareness, to be the witness. The deeper practice of knowing the witness is to be the witness. And this is a subtle shift that you can't make yourself make, because really it happens at the moment that awareness opens this recognition up to you. So what we're doing is inviting it, coaxing it, because it starts to happen as we do this practice more and more. So one of the recognitions of this tradition, the tradition that is sometimes called direct path meditation, because it asks us to really go directly to awareness rather than taking the help of the breath or of a mantra or of a part of the body. In this path, the central wisdom, the central recognition, is that anything you can hold as an object, anything you can taste, anything you can touch, anything you can think about, anything that you observe, is not your deepest reality. Anything that you can observe is not your deepest reality, because what you are is the ultimate observer, the ultimate seer. And that I, that me, is always the subject. It's pure being. It's always the subject. It's never an object. Now, there's a step beyond this, which is the stage where that subject, that beingness, that I-ness recognizes that everything is a part of itself. So there is that segue into complete recognition that there is no such thing as other, that the subject actually contains everything, that all so-called objects are part of the subject. But we get to that by tuning into the pure subject. It's actually a step-by-step process. So we keep working with this paradox of asking the mind, asking awareness to focus inward on itself, you know, kind of like an eye looking at the eye, which, you know, can't be done. And yet, in the process of the eye looking at the eye, somehow the deep eye gets invited to arise. So you can bring yourself into a meditative posture. which I know will tend to slip as we sit and listen to words. So just take another moment to breathe in and feel the sitting bones and hips and thighs connecting to the seat with the inhalation, and feel the exhalation gently, gently bringing the body upwards so that you're simultaneously aware that the body is grounding through the base and lifting upward through the crown. Take a moment to tune into the place where the base of the skull meets the top of the cervical spine. And just for a moment, inhale into that space and exhale with the sense that you're making a little bit of space. You're inviting the skull to move a little bit, just like an infinitesimal fraction of a fraction of an inch up off the cervical spine. And knowing that as you do this subtle practice, it actually realigns the body and relaxes the body, literally takes the burden of the heavy skull just a little bit off the supporting column of the neck. And just notice now, let yourself be aware of the breath as it flows, aware of whatever feelings or sensations you're experiencing in the body. Recognize that as you're aware of the breath, as you're aware of the body, you're also aware of thoughts, and perhaps aware of the energy that's arisen in you since this class began, which for some of you might feel thick and sleepy, and for others might feel quite alive and open and energized. And all of these ways of energy moving are part of the process of subtle meditation states arising. And just hold this deep and very ancient and very deeply true recognition that none of what you are noticing, not the body, not the thoughts, not the breath, are you. Nothing that you can focus on, that you can objectify, can be the I. So that one who recognizes, who knows, who sees, who's aware, who's just present to this experience, is in the deepest sense yourself, your I, your being. And in that recognition of the seeingness, the knowingness, you can sometimes go beyond the sense of a limiting I and fall open into the awareness that can be aware of itself. So, with great love, with great affection. The affection is very important. Be aware of what you can sense in the body. Be aware of the rhythm and the movement of the breath. Be aware of what's going on in your inner world. And just see if you can open back into awareness of the seer. Awareness of the awaring, knowing capacity. Just see if you can tune into it as if you were looking for the darting movement of a silver fish in water. Although, of course, the fish is an object, and what you're tuning into is never an object. It's the exquisite capacity for experiencing that is present in every phase, every moment. And perhaps for some of you that awareing is has opened fully for now, for this moment, and may that opening be there. And for some of you, there's a flash of it, or a sense that maybe this is it, and it remains a little mysterious. But what we know is that the opening into the seer, the coming forward of the seer, of the capacity for seeing, it happens very spontaneously. Sometimes just because it does. But often as a result of our being willing to stay with the inquiry, to actually make the subtle effort out of a sense of real, genuine curiosity, to ask the questions that can let us go beyond what we think we know about ourselves, what we think we are, and recognize this extraordinary mystery that each of us holds, that in the openness at the root of thought, in the apparent emptiness at the root of thought, is the depth and the secret of what we are. And before we go back into the inquiry practice, I just want to remind you that there are three keys here. We've talked about them before. One of the keys is to really be interested, to really be curious, to really actually want to know, want to find it. And another one of the keys is, somehow feels a little bit paradoxical, but that we practice with a feeling of relaxation, with a sense of, okay, it's there. It's already there. It's not something that I'm going to drag in from someplace else. It's there. So because it's there, because it's me, it will eventually reveal itself. It's very hard using language to talk about something that's beyond language. So though I'm talking about it as an object, we know it's not an object. So in a way, the whole point of this practice that we've been working with is just to recognize that that which is the backdrop of whatever we know, that capacity for knowing, is the context for whatever we know. In a way, that's all we need to know about it. It's just to have the sense that we're settling back into that which is the background experience of our aliveness. So we're going to return to our original inquiry for a few moments. And the frame we'll use is to look into that which is prior to thought. As you know, there's different language that we can use in asking these questions. And each of the ways we frame the question has a slightly different effect. And some of the ways to frame the question are the perfect query for opening up your awareness. So the frame we'll use is asking, what is it that's prior to thought? And this is really a way of encouraging your attention to take a different perspective, to move past the identity veils, the forms of thickness, the cognitive density that is just an inevitable part of being human beings living in this complex and dense world. So our job here in these next few minutes is to tune in to discern that which is prior to thought. So right now, just let yourself be aware of everything that's going on in your mind. Thoughts that are springing up, if they're not thoughts, there's probably a kind of energetic experience. Noticing how these different states of mind arise and dissolve. They come up, they hang out for a while, then they dissolve. And with the intent to become open to the ground of yourself, ask, what is prior to that thought? What exists before that image arises? What's there before the energy form that fills my mind? What's behind that thought? And another thought comes up, your attention goes to that. And then you query, not so much in words, just as a kind of intention, as a kind of direction, what's prior to that thought? And as you ask the question, as we've been doing throughout, just relax for a moment and see what comes up. Notice what arises. Allowing the breath to flow, allowing yourself to be completely present to whatever is arising in your awareness. Whatever it is, aware of the sensations in the body, aware of the breath, aware of the movement of thoughts. Aware of what is prior, what is there before thought. What is that field, that awareness within which thought arises? And when I say what is it, remember you don't want to find words for it. You want to use that questioning, that intention of questioning. Just as a way of tuning to that. That which is prior to thought. That which is behind thought. That which is the field of intelligence out of which different states, different images, different thoughts arise. What is prior to thought? So whatever arises or doesn't arise, see if you can ask yourself, what's before that? What's prior to that? What's behind thought? What's there before thought arises? And I'm going to ask you, even as we're practicing, those of you who feel like you can talk, to press *7 and unmute yourself. And tell us what's arising. Tell us what you find that's when you make that query, what's prior to thought? What's prior to my ordinary experience of the mind? Yes, there you are. I can hear you. Which means we can all hear you. *7, and if *7 isn't working, then you can try *6. What is your experience of what's prior to thought? If you could articulate it without worrying that you got it wrong or that you didn't understand it or that you're not having the right experience or that you don't really know what you're supposed to be doing. If you can just articulate what occurred as you asked that question, what's prior to thought? In that articulation, we actually invite and coax forward a deeper awareness of that awareness, the strange phenomenon that sometimes talking can engender that stillness space. Mode, which means that we're going to get a little static, but it also means that anyone can just open your mouth and speak. So, is that easier for you? We'll leave it this way for you. So, well, hello. That swishy sound we hear in moments like this on the teleconference line or in the space between the FM stations is actually the echo of the sound of the original Big Bang. That reverberates through the universe in the form of these waves of what sound to us like static. And what I'm going to suggest is a few of the recognitions that occur to me when I'm asking myself these questions. Part of what you might start to experience as you tune into what is prior to thought is that before before the thought, there's an impulse. There's a sense of energy. It's almost like arising. And sometimes if you look into that impulse, if you feel that impulse to think, which is actually the creative impulse inside awareness, you might notice that behind it, there's very often a feeling of space or nothingness or emptiness. And for some people, that emptiness has a kind of vaporous quality. For some people, it has a color. For some people, it's very enveloping and soothing. And what happens as we begin to become present to what's behind thought and behind impulse, it's really like becoming aware of the ocean where we've been aware of the waves. And yet within the ocean, as we know, there's a natural impulse to manifest as waves. And inside the field of awareness, this impulse stirs and it becomes a wave of thought or a feeling. And what we want to do here is just keep feeling our way back past, let's say, the thought or the feeling or the energetic experience that's the manifestation of that impulse. Feeling our way into the impulse, the Shakti, as we say in the tantras, that brings thoughts up out of the field of the mind. Just see if you can just keep moving back into the impulse. Into the spaciousness, into the open spaciousness. And I've put us back into Q&A mode. So you can press star 7 if you have something you want to say. And it's okay to interrupt me, although I'm going to go on talking, because it feels to me as though everybody's kind of in your space and doesn't want to come back to thought, and I understand. So whatever is arising, whether it's a sensation in the body or a thought in the mind, you just keep asking yourself, what's prior to that? What's before? What was there before that manifested? And just see what comes up. And see what... Yes?
Hi, Pardon?
Tell us your name.
Oh, my name is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I was wondering, is it like before the music starts, before the dance, as if you then didn't dance or didn't play the music?
No. That's beautiful.
Is it like...
Yes. It's like the moment when... It's like the moment when the impulse to dance arises, and if you just focus there.
Instead of dancing, right?
Instead of dancing, and then other times, of course, you dance.
Right, but what you're asking us to do is just sit with that feeling and not go into the dance, right?
Exactly. Stay with that place prior to the thought. Not in a way, but Sandy, this is really important, not that you're forcing yourself to stay there, where you're actually... What you're actually giving yourself practice in is discerning it. So that what will happen eventually is that even as thoughts are arising, there is still an awareness of that place before the dance starts. You know, in that beautiful poem of T.S. Eliot's, the still point between the turning worlds, which is the place prior to thought.
Okay, it's sort of hard because you get all excited. You know,
I know. You go, oh my God, here it is. I found it. So just ask yourself, what's prior to the excitement?
Okay, and then instead of like...
Yeah, instead of like going into the thought or the excited feeling.
Or the movement.
Oh my God, I've got it. Exactly. Instead of going into the movement, just keep asking yourself, okay, what's prior to that? I mean, if you can stay in that prior space, that's great. Most of us can't stay there because thought will arise. So the thing is to keep taking yourself back to it. In this moment, in this practice, what's prior to that?
Okay.
I had a recognition and I feel really excited about it. Okay, what's there before the recognition, right? What's there before the excitement?
Because it's not the excitement, it's not the recognition, it's before it, right?
It's what's before it, yeah.
Okay.
You could say it's the moment, it's the moment before the dance, the moment, you know, in, we could say the silence out of which the notes arise.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. So you can press star 6 and mute yourself.
Okay.
Unless there's something more you'd like to say. Great. So I'm gonna go on talking and we're gonna go into another meditation. But if someone else has a question or something you wanna add or share, you can press star 7 and just say my name and I'll turn the conversation over to you. So the metaphor that Sandy gave us, like the moment before the dance and the moment before the song, is it might be very helpful to some of you. The moment when the wave of thought starts to emerge from the ocean, from the water. The moment when a cloud starts to form in the sky. What's before that? And this practice is very much about giving yourself the opportunity to practice a kind of subtle discernment and a presentness with subtle experience, which is not normally the way we sort. You know, normally we focus on the concrete, and understandably so. So it's that willingness to go into subtle discernment, subtle experience that's at the heart of this particular way of meditating. So whether you're meditating in the form of self-inquiry or just letting yourself enter more deeply into awareness in the sense of fall or float in the source consciousness, the recognition that there's something behind, there's something beyond your current experience, is one of the great ways to go deeper. So keeping this recognition as our intention, that this recognition that there's something behind or something beyond, is actually what allows consciousness to do this natural dissolve, which in the tradition is called laya. Laya means dissolution, and the, you know, in the tantras, the secret of tuning into essence is actually the secret of letting your thoughts, letting your feelings, ultimately even letting your body sense dissolve into what is its essence, into the spaciousness, into the awareness, bliss, the freedom and fullness that's behind it. So somebody who's taken this class a couple of times shared in the last witness class something that I thought was very helpful and which I'd like to share with you at this point. He said that the whole trip, the whole secret of becoming familiar with what awareness is on deeper and deeper levels is just to keep at it. It's why I suggest curiosity really helps. It's just to let it become a habit. You know, you just do it for a while. So you keep reminding yourself, okay, what's behind this thought? Or what am I without this thought? So awareness starts to form the habit of turning back in on itself and resting in itself And it you know, you actually can create a bridge between ordinary consciousness and this deeper consciousness simply by asking this question, asking it in meditation and asking it through the day. And one of the great things about doing it from the heart space is that when you do it from the back of the heart space, you're doing it actually from a place where you're also in touch with the fullness aspect of awareness. It has far less the tendency to get you into a kind of cold and dry self-sense, which is sometimes what happens to people who are doing this kind of practice. So we don't want to do that. We want to stay with the warmth, with the friendliness of the heart. But this is one of those things in which practice makes perfect, just like when you're learning to float or to type or to play tennis or to meditate. It actually becomes easier and more familiar with repetition, and in fact, it's often true that you're trying it and trying it and trying it and you don't feel it's working, and then suddenly it's happening. And, you know, that's the way subtle knowledge arises in you. You hear a teacher say something, or you read something in a book, and you understand it intellectually, or maybe you don't understand it intellectually, and then later, just by doing this process, which is making your consciousness subtler, making your awareness subtler, it's like as you do this, as you tune yourself into the subtle, you actually begin to be able to understand all sorts of subtle truths about awareness are not really accessible without this practice of subtlizing your mind. And I would say I don't think it's possible to do it wrong. You just need to do more of it. Because meditation does, in fact, teach you meditation. You know, you stumble around in it. I give you instructions. You follow this instruction, that instruction. And one of the instructions just goes, aha, or even better, something comes up from inside you and says, try it this way. So, we're going to return to the practice, and we're going to go beyond it to work with it in another layer. And we'll be working with a practice that some of you are familiar with, and that, in fact, I've often made a part of my teaching and practice in some of these teleclasses recently. It's an adaptation of one of the primary Buddhist practices, which is called sending and receiving Tonglen. And we're going to work with it from our sense of awareness through the heart. So first, let's take ourselves to another doorway into awareness, which is the space between the words. So as you listen to my words arising, see if you can listen into the space between the words, the silence there, before the word, after the word. So, tuning into spaciousness by tuning into, listening into the silence between words. And if you'll open your eyes for a moment, and just let yourself be present with open eyes in the room you're in. You'll also notice that there are objects in the room, and then there's the space that the objects are in. And if you focus on the space around the chair, the space within the walls, just as as you're focusing on the space between my words, you'll start to sense your way into that presence, that awareing, that beingness. So, this is an open-eyed practice of tuning into awareness in the midst of your activities. And you can close your eyes. Let the base of the posture become heavy. Let your next exhalation bring your awareness into the spine and give you the feeling that the exhalation helps the spine lift up from the base to the crown. And your shoulder blades move back, your chest lifts and opens. And your awareness, without fixating, becomes a little bit more present to the breath. You're not trying to shut out anything, you're not trying to shut out sounds or focus too tightly. But now you're letting the breath bring your awareness, bringing your attention more and more fully into the heart. And with the next inhalation, you feel your breath moving into the back of the heart. And with the exhalation, your awareness moves behind the heart. Just a sense of the back of the heart opening so that, yes, a part of your awareness is inside your body, but a part of your awareness is also noticing this presence behind you. This cushion of energy behind you, this awareness behind you. And the breath is flowing in and out through the heart. And with your attention, with your awareness, just gently opening through the back heart with the breath. What is it that's prior to thought? Not so much using words as inwardly having the intention to let your awareness settle into that nonverbal sense of being. Just let yourself flow into the back heart. Let yourself be that open spaciousness within which thoughts arise and subside. And in the back of the heart, as you rest inside that presence in the back of the heart, you might notice that whatever may arise is actually arising inside the spaciousness. And the spaciousness of the great heart field is not just full of awareness, it's full of tenderness. And you can have the recognition that whatever is arising in it is arising as the energy of spaciousness. And let yourself settle now into what we call the great heart, the pure awareness that's prior to thought, that's prior, even prior to the body, prior to you as a particular person, prior to everything that makes you your normal sense of who you are. See if you can tune your way into the back heart as what's called the original face. And as you let yourself sink or fall into the spaciousness behind the heart, perhaps noticing the quality of the spaciousness, perhaps its pulsation, perhaps there's a felt sense in it. And notice also whether it has limits, whether there's a ceiling or a floor, or whether it's actually possible to flow backwards into that spaciousness behind the heart, the great heart, and to experience its boundlessness. And see if now you can breathe in any thoughts or sensations that are arising in your body, any feelings or questions that are arising in your mind, even the words I'm speaking. See if you can breathe them through the heart, into that spaciousness behind the heart. Just having a sense that you're offering everything that arises in your mind into that back heart spaciousness. And with the exhalation, see if you can breathe that spaciousness, that sense of boundlessness, back through your body. And let it infuse your body and infuse your ordinary thinking mind. And with the next inhalation, feel that you're breathing in the sensations in your physical body. Any thoughts or emotions that are occurring, you're breathing them into the heart, into the back heart. Letting it all be offered into the spaciousness of your awareness, and then with the exhalation, you breathe spaciousness back into your body, your mind, your self-sense. And though your eyes are closed, have the feeling that you breathe in the room you're in, that the room flows in, flows in with the breath, into the heart and into that field of awareness, that ocean of awareness, the great heart behind you. Don't think too much about it. Just have the intention to breathe in your surroundings into the great heart, and then as you exhale, breathe that spaciousness back out into the room. Without judgment, without expectation, or rather breathing in any judgments or expectations, just continue to breathe in the sense of your surroundings into the heart and into the back heart. And to breathe out that spaciousness into the room. And now if there's someone you know who's sad, who's upset, whose life is in turmoil, or you just want to allow to experience that spaciousness. See if you can breathe in that person's pain, their sadness, that anger, their turmoil into the heart and into the space of the great heart behind you, into that limitless awareness. And as you breathe out with a sense of that spaciousness flowing out through your heart and into that person's pain or sadness or turmoil or emotional upheaval. You're breathing it in not into your own heart, not into your personal heart, but into the great heart behind you. And then you're breathing out the blessing of the great heart, the spaciousness of the great heart, into that person, into their feelings, into their life situation. And let yourself, if you will, flow through the different people and situations in your life, whatever comes to mind. And what you want to do is breathe in any sense of knottiness or confusion or turmoil or sadness or anger or discomfort that comes up when you think about that person or situation. Breathe it in into the back heart, into the spaciousness, letting it dissolve into the spaciousness, letting the great heart receive it, letting awareness receive it, dissolve it. And then with the exhalation, allow the spaciousness of the great heart of the pure awareness to flow out through your heart and into that person or situation. And whenever in this process you feel hesitation or confusion or resistance or distraction, just continue to breathe it in through the heart. Into the great heart. Radically feel as though whatever it is dissolving into the great heart space. And breathe out that spaciousness into your own body and mind, in through your body, out through your body and mind, into the person or situation that you've chosen to bless in this way. So the intention here, the energy here is that where there are knots or constrictions, these are being drawn into the heart, drawn into the spaciousness behind the heart, and allowed to dissolve in the ocean of awareness of the great heart. And that the spaciousness of the heart, the spaciousness of pure awareness, of being breathed back into the knottiness and confusion and density that are part of life in duality. And as you breathe with the intention of drawing in that which is dense and constricted and letting the blessing of spaciousness flow back, dissolve the density and flow back into the constriction, you may get a sense of how all that we experience the different densities of experience, the different qualities of constriction or contraction, the different degrees of intensity or openness of love or sadness, of anger or grief, that it actually can all be breathed into the Great Heart and allowed in this moment to dissolve into the Great Heart. And the spaciousness of the heart, the spaciousness of awareness, can be breathed out and offered into the density, the constriction, the pain, and the sweetness that's life in this world. And then perhaps you'd like to just let this all go and be present to that spaciousness. Just be present to your experience in this moment of being I am. Of being awareness in this moment as you are. And this practice that we've touched, in which I'm going to ask you to continue through the week, this practice of sending and taking, of breathing in the experience of thoughts, body sensations, emotions, both in ourselves and other people, and offering them into the great awareness behind the heart, the great heart, which can both dissolve their density and then breathe blessings into whatever situation, whether internal or external, that you bring into your awareness. This is the other side of the recognition of your own non-dual awareness, of your own existence as pure awareness. You recognize that which is beyond thought, of that which is the I beyond thoughts, beyond emotions, the I that's present when there's no memory, when there's no attention or intention, whether it's an I or a not I, a sense of beingness or spaciousness. You become aware of that subtlety. And then from your awareness of that subtlety, which we're always presencing now, through the presence that fills and stretches backward from the heart, and from that place, we're able to bring in the confusing and painful and also beautiful aspects of our experience, both of ourselves and other people, and breathe them into that awareness, and then offer blessing from the heart, from that awareness, back into our world. And it's a way of practicing that not only allows you to connect to your awareness, but also to the compassion that's a natural arising of awareness. You can do it with a person you want to bless or a person you want to feel alien from. You can do it with your own thoughts, your own confusion. You can let it unfold for you. I know that there are several of you in this class who've done this practice with me and done this practice on your own. I would say that really the key to it is allowing whatever you're breathing in to flow into the great heart behind you, to dissolve into the great heart behind you, so that your body is a conduit. And you actually realize that your own body can be a conduit for awareness to bless and interact with the physical universe. So, as we take this next step, what I believe will begin to occur for you is that you'll start to, or you'll deepen, because I know that quite a few of you have been doing this practice for a while, you'll deepen your sense that the power that's present in awareness actually can show you how to act with compassion, can show you how to act without attachment or fear, with a kind of openness and skill, can in fact act as you, so that there is a real felt experience of that which is subtle, acting as and through your human self, not like some entity that's taken over your body, but because it's your deep self, your true self, and because it does have its own unique way of enacting life through your being, a way of enacting life which is not caught in the egoic ways of interacting that we get so used to. So I'd like to encourage you to continue these practices, to make them not only a part of your meditation, but of all the moments in your life when you're walking around and wanting to connect and learning how at certain moments in your life, if you just remind yourself what's prior to thought and emotion, it will free you up. And if when you're feeling entangled or responsible for someone or just want to help them, that this practice of breathing in their being and breathing out the blessing of the great heart to them really does not just transform the situation, but it will deepen your sense that we're all part of the same consciousness, that we're all sharing consciousness. And this is the truth. So any practice that we do that makes it this truth a deeper part of our lives, any practice that we do that makes us more aware of that connection is powerful and transformative and is a powerfully important part of what we do to shift consciousness in the world. And the listserv will remain up for another week, another 10 days actually. So if there's anything you'd like to share or ask or bring up for discussion, it's there. And the conversation goes on. It's been a gorgeous conversation. This community is an incredible blessing for me and for so many of you. Debbie will be sending you an evaluation form, and it'll be great if you'll fill it out and send it back. It helps us a lot in planning these teleconferences. And you'll be getting a homework assignment that you can continue to practice in the next week. And please remember that this next week is really the culmination of the course. It's the time when this practice that you've been doing can begin to take a deeper seat in your awareness. And please do take advantage of the conversation so that whatever comes up for you, whatever you'd like to ask, can be a benefit to all the rest of us. And, of course, this practice of being together, of engaging in this meditative conversation, of actually honestly bringing our experience and our doubts and our ecstasies into this conversation is an utterly wonderful privilege for me. Every group that comes together in the teleconference Sangha has its own character, its own beauty, and this one feels very alive and very wise and very present. So as we close, let's dedicate our practice asking that all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness, asking that all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering, asking that all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering, asking that all of us in every moment of our lives experience equanimity, even in our agitation, through the power of our own awareness. And we ask that each of us experience the absolute equality, the connectedness of all that lives. have a beautiful, beautiful evening and week, and may we share the great love that rests in the heart of the universe. So much love. Good night.